know, we all have so many passions, just like the way, you know, you put on your trousers, you probably put on your trousers, either your right leg or your left leg first. And that's the way you would do it every single time. When we go to the shop or the office, we have a particular route that we take. We go on automatic pilot. But it's exactly the same in the way that we run our businesses.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky, and I'm on the line with Una Doyle from creativeflow.tv. How are you, Una?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Yes, it's absolutely a treat for the My Future Business audience to have you on the show today, especially given that we're going to be covering a topic that, yes, we might have talked about, but I don't think we've talked about it in the way that you and I are about to explore. And what I'm saying is that it's one thing to set a price in your business, but it's another thing to have the confidence and to know how to increase your prices. But before we jump into that, Una, I'd love to share with the My Future Business audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I generally work with creative entrepreneurs. So if you think of those service-based businesses, quite often in the creative services, so think those in design, animation, marketing, writing, etc. Though sometimes it's just creatively minded people. I'm a creative myself.
Yep.
I have got experience working in creative agencies. I've also been an actor and filmmaker. Just have that creative mind that many business people have. So, you know, if you think of that typical entrepreneur that is very fast thinking, very fast moving, and that basically is, coming up with lots of ideas all the time. And
yeah,
it can be very, it's very exciting, okay? Because generally speaking, creative people are very, very intuitive, and they're, you know, have lots of things going on at once. However, that also can be a challenge. Sometimes for people it's just there's too much going on and they find it really hard to focus.
Yes.
And particularly where they have teams, then they can often leave those teams behind as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm looking at your website and you have a saying there, Una: just like you can't out-exercise a bad diet, you can't out-strategize a self-sabotaging mindset. And I think this plays at the core of everything we do as entrepreneurs and business owners. Could you talk to the importance of mindset, please?
Absolutely. Can I have a week?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, we've got all the time in the world. It's a fairly expansive topic.
It is. It's a huge topic, absolutely massive. So here's the thing. We all have patterns, okay? So here's what I want you to do, and what I want your audience to do is, I want you to, I'm just going to put this down here. I want you to fold your arms.
Doing it now.
Okay, great. Okay, now I want you to fold your arms the other way around. Okay, so at the moment I've got my hand here, so I need to... Right, so I got... Now, how easy or hard did that feel?
It feels awkward. I've actually done this before, yeah, and every time I do it, it's very awkward.
Exactly. Now, this is like a minor thing. There's no emotional attachment to changing the way that you fold your arms. So think about changing patterns of thinking, feeling, and behavior where there is emotional attachments around it, where it has to do with your business success, where it has to do with your identity, where it has to do with money, where it has to do with what people might think of you. And you can understand why for many, many people, changing their mindset can be really challenging. You know, we all have so many passions, just like the way, you know, you put on your trousers, you probably put on your trousers, either your right leg or your left leg first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you would do it every single time. When we go to the shop or the office, we have a particular route that we take. We go on automatic pilot. But it's exactly the same in the way that we run our businesses. And so what I really help people to do is to identify the patterns that aren't serving them,
yeah,
and use an amazing tool to help them release that. Now, look, here's the thing is a lot of the time people don't even realize what patterns they are running, because it's a bit like a fish swimming in water. They don't see the water. They're in it.
Yes. They're so very close, yeah, to the core of the problem.
Exactly. So I act like a bit of a detective because I have gone through and released all these patterns. So here's some very, very typical ones that I do with pretty much all my clients. Things like not good enough, disapproval, okay, where people don't approve of themselves and they also are concerned that other people might not approve of them. Caring too much what others think, wanting to please others, issues around money, believing that they don't deserve, feeling obligated. And that's just kind of scratching the surface. I mean, there's also things like not valuing themselves. They might feel trapped in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, obviously, and also rejection. You know, those are things that come up a lot for people when it comes to sales, when it comes to marketing and promoting themselves.
Yeah.
And for me, I really like to go a lot deeper. And the great thing is, because of the tool I use, like for a lot of people, they're afraid of going there. They're worried, I'm going to open this tin of worms and I won't be able to put the lid back on. Well, with the work we do together, we don't have to put the lid back on. We actually empty out that tin of worms and we replace it with something really nice and delicious and yummy.
So can we, as entrepreneurs and business owners, Una, unlearn these, I guess, these long embedded traits that we have, these personality traits?
So there's a difference between a personality trait,
mm-hmm,
and a negative pattern of thinking, feeling, or behavior. Okay. So for instance, I'm a creative person. I'm not going to unlearn being creative.
Right.
However, what I have unlearned is not being able to focus. I have unlearned starting loads and loads of different things and not finishing them. I have unlearned, to a certain extent, I'm still working on it, not being a control freak.
Oh, yes. I have some of those traits, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a difference between the kind of hardwired personality,
mm-hmm,
and learned behaviors, which often stem from those beliefs that we have. They,
yes,
stem from what we learned from our parents, from our teachers, from society, what we've seen other people do. And all of those things play a part in, you know, how much somebody will market their business, what they offer, what they charge for that, what they deliver. Because the issue is not just undercharging, it's over-delivering as well.
Yes.
So, you know that scope creep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
when,
yeah,
the client says, can you just?
Can you just?
Anytime they say, can you just, you know there's trouble coming.
And it's usually...
beg your pardon?
It's usually an expenditure of your time, isn't it?
Exactly. And here's the thing, is that if people don't value themselves enough, they won't value their time. They won't value their talents.
Yes, and I'm looking at the list of things here that we were going to cover. You know, we're talking about increasing prices. We're also talking about, identifying that soulmate customer. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Definitely. As I said, I do like to go a bit deeper with people.
Definitely.
And so I say soulmate client because you know that feeling when you click with somebody?
Oh, yeah.
And you just think, I want to spend more time with this person. There's a resonance there that, you know, I feel is coming from that soul level.
Yeah.
Now, contrast that to what a lot of people experience, especially when they undercharge and overdeliver, is that they, you know, a client's name pops up on their phone and they go, oh no, it's so-and-so. Either I overpromised and I'm undercharging, so I actually feel resentful about doing this work and therefore I'm missing deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're maybe a bit of a pain in the proverbial and they don't you very well.
Yeah.
And because you may be desperate for money and you're not valuing yourself and you're in that feast and famine roller coaster, then you feel like you have to do that work.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas that's complete baloney.
Yeah.
It really is. When you actually target your ideal soulmate client, not only are you going to attract those people so much more easily because they're going to resonate with you too.
Yeah.
You also, as part of this process, we're diving into what do they actually really want and what do they really need? And usually, as part of that process, you actually end up creating an offer that A, helps you to stand out in the marketplace, B, really helps your ideal soulmate client, and C, allows you to charge a much higher ticket.
And we're talking about really positioning yourself, aren't we? Is that what we're covering?
Yes. But it's more than that. Okay, so positioning is, a lot of people think of positioning as being the marketing that you do, the message that you put out there.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it's really got to be driven from inside. It's got to be driven from who are you? What is it, you know, what is it that your business is really doing? How are you actually serving and helping people? And crafting the offers to go with that. And not just that, but actually, what is the process, the sales process of somebody going, oh, I want to find out a bit more about that, to getting to the point, you know, where they actually become a client.
Yes.
And all of that requires a lot more thought and investigation than people realize.
Yeah, that's great insight for anybody who's on the call today. Definitely ears open to the content that we're sharing tonight, today, depending on where you are, in fact. and I wonder if we take away the emotion from it, what are the mechanics of choosing the right number for your products and services, and how do you get to that point?
Well, that's where you've got to look at what the value is to the clients.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that people say, and I actually say it in my marketing because people want to be able to do this. They want to be able to charge what they're worth, even when they don't think they're worth a lot. They kind of know that they are worth more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, I don't really like that phrase. The reason is that in business, it's actually about what is it worth to your client, not what are you worth? Because I believe we're all priceless. Yeah. How can you put a price tag on that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. But when you have got a product or a service, then that is worth something to another person.
Yeah.
So for instance, okay, this I've got an iPhone here. So imagine, it's quite an old one, but imagine that this was the, you know, the brand new one that has come out last.
Yep.
And, you know, and so say somebody said, okay, just for this, like not for the actual SIM card or the service, but just for the phone, say I wanted to sell that for £100. Now, for the newest one that's come out, some people might go, wow, that's amazing. They're selling in the shops for £500.
Yes.
So there's got to be that differential in value from what your customer perceives the value to be and what you perceive the value to be.
And you've got to close that gap, don't you?
Yeah. Well, there has to be a gap, though.
Right.
There has to be a gap. And this is why it's so important to build your business around who you are and your natural strengths and personality.
Yes.
Okay, because you've got to be able to market your business, bring clients on, and deliver you and your team or teams, if you have them, all while working in flow.
Yes, okay? And you talked about flow in your bio, and I was going to touch on that. Mm. Maybe we could explore that a little bit more.
Yes, of course. It's a kind of foundational principle that I work with people because. Okay, so as I've mentioned a few times, I often am working with creative people. I'm a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a bit more extroverted, okay? And I've been an actor. Like for me, doing this is totally in flow for me.
Yeah.
I love being on camera. I love being on a stage. You know, that's not most people.
Yes, no, I can understand that.
Okay, not most people. And it's not just about fear, okay? For a lot of people, they actually might like that. at least to do it a little bit,
yep.
but the fear might get in the way. So this is, I'm not talking about stage fright or anything like that. I'm actually talking about how much fun would it be for somebody if they had no fear, would it be fun for them? For me, it is. But for a lot of people, it wouldn't. For other people, they might prefer to write. Maybe they want to write a book, write articles, send out press releases. Somebody else might want to run a team of people who actually do all the marketing for them, and what they're best at doing is leading.
Yes.
Somebody else might want to do all the SEO and Facebook analytics. And, you know, we all have got different strengths and personalities. And the thing is, we have to tune into that.
Right.
So it's like a radio station. Okay, imagine this, right? What's your favorite type of music, Rick?
Oh, look, I'd have to say dance music.
Dance music. So what, do you mean like kind of pop dance music?
No, drum and bass mainly.
Drum and bass. Okay, great. So I want you to imagine you go into your office on a Monday morning, you turn on the radio, and it's classical music that's playing. How much would you feel like dancing?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Okay. However, I know you know lots of people. And so luckily you mentioned this to one of your friends and they say, oh, Rick, that's not a problem. I know this brilliant book that you've got to read. It's called How to Dance to Classical Music. It's got brilliant reviews on Amazon. So you go, oh, okay, great. And you go and you get the book. You know, you devour it over the weekend. You turn up at work on Monday morning. You turn on the radio. The classical music is playing. How much do you feel like dancing?
Probably not at all.
Okay. But isn't that interesting? Because you've actually learned how to be competent.
Yes,
at
I see.
Dancing to classical music. But you still don't feel like dancing.
Yes. And that's right? So pertinent.
Flow is all about feeling.
The feeling of it, yes.
Exactly. I use a personality profiling tool to help identify, but I never say to somebody, you are this or you're not that. It's always, does that resonate with you? Does that feel right for you? And you know, we work out what is the best way for them to run their business, where they can be focused, where they can be in flow, and where they get to have lots of fun. And guess what? When they do that and you get the mindset stuff right,
yep.
then that allows them to have a highly profitable business where they really get to make an impact.
Yeah, thank you so much. I just had to ask something about the, you know, our audience is beginner entrepreneurs and existing small to medium-sized business owners. In a minute, once you've finished what you were going to say, I was wondering if we can just take them through the entire process when you meet somebody who is as green as the grass is long.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Well, in that case, the first place I would start is with their personality profile.
Right.
Because they've got to figure out what is going to have them in flow. And from there, I would look to help them to find a niche. Okay. Now, I say niche as opposed to ideal soulmate client. They haven't done enough yet to get to the ideal soulmate client.
Right.
They need to actually go out and deliver and experience what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, where things take off for them, where things are quite challenging. But if they at least have, oh, I know this is what I have to offer, just from being me.
Yep.
So yes, of course they have skills and experience, but the way that they structure their business around that, to help them be in flow, and I would help them to identify probably just one lead generation strategy so that they can get in front of people in their chosen niche and start making money and delivering to those clients. And then as they build up to a more stable income, then we can start diving into, okay, let's narrow this down.
Yeah.
So amongst this niche, if this niche was the right one for you, and if it wasn't, no problem, you can choose another one. If it didn't work out, then nobody knows.
That's true.
So we get to refine that, and we also then start really looking at what you have been doing, what is the problem that you feel most called to serve and solve, and you know, so from that come up with you know, a really solid offer.
Yep.
And a way of getting that offer in front of your ideal soulmate clients. So we're looking at, because you've got to craft that offer around who you are, especially as a startup.
Yeah.
Now, in rare cases, you might have a group of experienced business people who have got funding and are working on a product. But I would imagine most of your audience are solo business people. Maybe it's might be a husband and wife team or mm-hmm. a couple of friends. But generally speaking, it's one or two, maybe three people. And they need to figure out, what am I going to do? Because, you know, go and scour the internet. You can get sucked down to a million rabbit holes of all the different things that you could do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Right? The rabbit hole goes deep.
Doesn't it just? Doesn't it just? So getting really focused on, okay, I'm going to go and sell this one thing to this one kind of person using this one lead generation strategy, that allows you to accelerate to get to the point where you're making a living from what you're doing. And then you can start to refine it. And then once you have refined it, then you're in the situation where it's like, okay, now I can, you know, I've been delivering this, I'm refining it further, I can start putting my prices up even more. And then you start looking at how you're going to build a team and how you're going to scale your sales.
Yes.
Everything has to happen in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people, particularly creative people, we try and jump steps.
I'll start at Z.
Yeah, you know what that's like? That's like being on a trampoline, okay? Because what happens, you're on a trampoline, you're jumping up and down, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it can feel like you're going somewhere, but you're not. Every time you go up, you have to come back down again. What I want to do is to guide people up steps, one at a time. And here's the great thing, is that as you're going up each of these steps, your crap is going to show itself. And then we work on releasing that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love the fact that there is a journey here and that you can visualize it for the My Future Business audience, because a lot of the time we jump from, you know, point to point, but there's no logical sequence of events. And I think that's one of the major takeaways from the call for everybody who is on the line with us tonight. One of the things I'd like to know about now is, at that point in time, we've been selling our product, our service successfully, Una, and now we've decided that it's time to shift gear in terms of pricing.
Yes.
Can we talk about how you would do that successfully?
Okay. So the first thing is, you've got to get clear on what is this worth to your ideal soulmate client.
Right.
And you also need to work on your own mindset around your value, around money, around deserving, around being good enough, all of those kinds of things that I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And then you've got to put a process in place. Okay, so in the startup phase, you're just going out and talking to people and doing that lead generation strategy, and probably just having a conversation straight away from that. Okay, or you might build a bit of a relationship, but when you're looking to raise your prices, when you have that highly tuned offer for that very focused ideal soulmate client audience, then there needs to be a process put in place. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but us creatives are not naturally good at processes.
Oh, I'm pretty aware of it.
yeah, absolutely. So this is definitely something where, when I was first in business, I made all these mistakes, by the way. this is kind of how I learned. And then I went and trained in the personality profiling and in business, these kinds of business strategies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually already have a business degree. It was useless for me in terms of setting up a small business. Business degrees are not designed for entrepreneurs, they're designed for employees.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what you've got to do is, you've got to look at, okay, so number one, how can I attract this person into raising their hand and going, oh yeah, I've got that challenge, oh, let me take a next step. So there needs to be some kind of thing that is freely available to them. Now, when you start off doing that, I would suggest that you actually make it some kind of call or meeting, okay? And then as you get to really know that ideal client even more, then you will be able to produce some kind of freebie. A lot of people call it a lead magnet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like, I'd love another phrase for lead generation. I think it's very dehumanizing.
It is,
to say lead generation and lead magnet. So let's call it a freebie or an ethical bribe.
Yep.
So if you can turn it into some kind of freebie that doesn't take your time, because at this point, your time is very precious to you. okay? Because you're busy, you're actually selling, you are delivering, okay? So you've got to make sure you're putting these processes and systems in place to allow you to free up your time to be able to focus on what has you in flow. So then once people experience that freebie, then there needs to be an invitation. Now, the way I suggest people do it is that they have some kind of paid consult. I'm typically working with service-based business owners. For product-based business owners, they quite often can have some kind of small purchase that actually, so it turns that prospect into a buyer, and it allows you to, you know, like that freebie has demonstrated some trust by identifying, you know, by showing them how much you understand their problem and that you have got a method to solve it. Now, the paid consultation, that has got to be where you genuinely help people. But what you're not doing, because like, here's the thing, right? When somebody has got, like if I'm working with somebody and they're listening to this, and if they have a certain amount of business experience and the right kind of support, then they can implement what I'm talking about. But if they don't have the right kind of support, they could go away and go, oh, great, I know all this now. And they feel really happy, and they go and try and implement it in their business, and it doesn't work, or they never get to finish implementing it because they haven't got the right kind of support. Okay. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, absolutely. I wonder, Una, could I ask, is this process applied to a low ticket item as opposed to a high ticket item in terms of, you know, the dollar value? Same process?
Right. If you have a low ticket offer, you probably would go from the free call direct to a sale.
Right.
So are you talking about like, say, under $500?
Anywhere between 1997, say, through to 5,000 is a mark.
Right. Okay. So what I would say is, and it's really interesting, and you, each person needs to figure this out for their audience. So so at one point I had a £97 paid consult, and I was selling at that time a £3,000 coaching package. When I put my price up to 5,000, all of a sudden my conversions went down until I raised the paid consult to 197. Then my conversions went back to what they were before.
Why was that?
There's because the in your client's mind there will be a kind of, it was too much of a leap.
Right.
The people who were happy to invest 97, suddenly the 5K was, oh, whoa, that's too much. But the people who invested the 197, that actually, then it worked. So I can't say exactly what those amounts are. You need to experiment.
So this is, you know, that psychological trigger and finding
that
point that how high is the fence that I need to jump over?
Exactly. Because I have clients who, that paid consult, some of them, it's usually at least about a 197. But I have others who actually charge, you know, four figures for that paid consult.
Wow, that's you know, it's all a matter of mindset,
because
isn't
they
it?
Have because they have a much bigger package at the end of it.
Well, look, anybody who's on the call today, you can see the power of mindset in terms of how much you can achieve, how much you can charge, how comfortable you can feel in your own skin, knowing that what you are valued at is all a product of your own mindset. Now, Una, when people want to work with you, where are they going to find you?
Well, they'll find me at creativeflow.tv, and I would like to share some free resources with your audience as well. Okay. See, I practice what I preach. So if they go to creativeflow.tv/resources, you will find a few things there. So the first thing I would suggest you do is to take the Which Creative Entrepreneur Are You quiz. That is going to help establish, are you a dreamer, a worker, a builder, or a leader? In other words, what are the top three steps that you ought to be taking for where you are in business? And what are the top three mindset shifts you need to make in order to take those steps successfully?
Well, there you go, so, everybody. If you can,
if you can take that quiz for free, and there's free video training. There's one video for each step and each mindset shift. I also have another quiz there, which is called the "Which is your sneaky subconscious saboteur?"
Yes, I did notice there are a few there.
Yeah, so this other quiz, again, there is a free video training for you, depending on what results you come out as. But this helps people, and I've had so many people come back to me and say, oh my God, that was spot on. It was interesting. They all use that phrase, spot on. You know, I was saying about the fish in water, and quite often people don't recognize what their patterns are. This will help you to start that process. And give you some ideas around that to help you to move forward.
Well, there you go. Once again, everybody, it's been just an absolute treat spending with, some time with Una today. There is just so much to take in here. This is such an expansive topic. It's certainly something we can't cover in 30 minutes' time. Una, I'd love to have you back on the show again to maybe continue this conversation.
Indeed.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.